Barrington Stage Company is getting ready for their second main stage production, The Chosen, the much-beloved story of two boys, two fathers, and two very different Jewish communities in Brooklyn during World War II. The show runs July 18th through August 3rd. Set against the backdrop of World War II, Aaron Posner and Chaim Potok's award-winning adaptation introduces us to two kids, both passionate, intelligent young boys on opposite sides of a baseball game. When the game takes a turn and Reuben is injured by Danny, a unique friendship is born. Richard Schiff plays Reb Saunders in the show. Schiff is probably best known for playing Toby Ziegler on The West Wing, a role for which he received an Emmy Award. He made his Broadway debut this past Broadway season, starring opposite Al Pacino in David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross. It's a great pleasure to welcome Richard Schiff to the roundtable. Thank you very much for doing this and taking time out of the rehearsal schedule.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
I appreciate it. What brought you to this role?
I always wonder why I choose to do a role, and sometimes I don't really realize it till later. But firstly, it's a beautiful novel. It's a beautiful story. And the issues of the play are universal, and I was drawn to it because of that.
It seems like one of the rare, there are many examples, but as far as a great adaptation of a novel where much of the meat of the book still exists.
Yeah, and the adaptation is very rich and captures kind of the essence of what Chaim Potok wrote. What I find fascinating about it is that they're two very almost equally pious and religious and spiritual fathers going in completely different directions. One is going inward into the soul, if you will, which was a way in which especially Hasidic sects of the Jewish faith survived in Poland and in Eastern Europe and in Germany during the many centuries of persecution, where they would kind of circle the wagons and just go inward and study Talmud and study Torah. The other father goes outward, and this happens during World War II, and then the subsequent news of millions of Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust, and the reactions of the two fathers is polar opposite. One goes inward, and the other thinks that we now have to take matters in our own hands and not wait for the Messiah, not wait for God to intervene. And so that leads to the building of the State of Israel, which my character feels is sacrilegious, because as do some still existing sects of Hasidim believe that you cannot return to the state to Israel until the Messiah comes. That's what's written. So, it's fascinating to me that these two equally intelligent and faithful people have two polar opposite reactions to the horrors of that era.
You said a moment ago about how in choosing a role you don't really understand that fully sometimes until it's over. What is that decompression like after a show of sort of, do you take that time to fully understand what it is that you've done and accomplished?
And I had two very different experiences in the last year in theater, and I'm very happy to be doing a lot of theater again, but Glengarry was Broadway, and Broadway is Broadway, for whatever that is. And then I went to Washington, D.C., and did a production of Eugene O'Neill's play, Huey, directed by my favorite director, Doug Hughes. And it was a pure and fascinating and very rewarding experience. And and then I go, yeah, that's okay, that's, I get it. That's why I've always been interested in that character in Huey. I've always wanted to do that role. And the character is actually Erie Smith, and Huey is who the play is about. But you know, the loneliness of that character, the desolation and the pipe dreams of O'Neill's characters to me are, you know, capture, you know, the, I don't know what the word is, for many men specifically in that era, in the 20th century, in the early 20th century. So, you know, and I think with this, it has to do with fathers and sons. And I have a son who's 18, who's also very brilliant, like my son in the play, which offers a very unique set of problems. He's a very special kid, very different kid. And so that's part of the reason, I think, why I was attracted to this. But plus, I love the richness of storytelling. And when the story is full and rich and beautiful, it feels like, without getting too haughty, it feels like this is why we, or why I got into this in the first place, you know. And much of my career spent doing, quite honestly, work that isn't rewarding. And and so when you get an opportunity like this, it's enriching. It's enriching every part of me.
I was surprised, actually, when I saw Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway, and I was surprised to realize when I looked in the program then that it was your Broadway debut, that was the first time you'd been on Broadway. Does that color what that experience was at all, or is it still ultimately, no matter where it's held, it's the work, it's the people you're working with, and so forth?
Yeah, ultimately, it's the work and the people you're working with. And there are nights when you're walking down 44th Street and heading to the Schoenfeld Theater, and you see your name on the, you know, in the front, and your picture, and you know, wow, this is cool, you know. And then you're on stage with Pacino and all that stuff, and it's great. But you know, Broadway is a mass media. Really, it's in a way, it's it can't happen without selling very expensive tickets to everybody, and so it's marketed that way and it's produced that way, and it's a different experience than doing a play because you want to do the play. You have to know that you're part of that circus, and every now and then I think something on Broadway transcends those problems. But it's usually because they come from another place. They come from Steppenwolf in Chicago, or they come from the National Theater in England, or they come from a regional theater in America. But rarely does a play on Broadway that starts on Broadway reach a certain level, you know. And I think it's because it's so commercial now, and it's so difficult to sell tickets, and it's star driven, and that has its, you know, its pluses and its minuses.
Does it affect you as an actor and your performance? Obviously, there's who you're playing to and how much they've paid to get in there, but for you on stage and what you're working with,
you know, who you're playing to is a big part of it for me. When I did a one-man play in London called Underneath the Lintel, and I found the West End audience to be quite great. They listened to every word. They reacted directly proportional to the experience. On nights when it was a normal night, mediocre on the scale of things, they reacted that way. When it was a phenomenal night, they stood up at the end and gave a standing ovation, and the way they greeted me afterwards was different than on the nights that were less great. In New York, they stood up, gave us a standing ovation every night, no matter what we did. and that's not a discerning audience. No disrespect to, you know, the peeps that come and see us on Broadway, but I've noticed that. I've noticed that as an audience member, that if they are told it's great, or if, you know, they just stand up and they want to be entertained as opposed to they want an experience, I think, you know. And then I did the play in Washington again, a reserved, more reserved audience, an audience that listened very closely and very carefully. Now, and it makes a lot of sense, because if you're spending $150, and in some cases even $500 for premium tickets, you better have a good time. Otherwise, you feel like, you know. So that experience makes people a little bit more excited. They want to laugh, so they'll laugh a little bit more, you know. They want to be entertained, so they're a little bit more anxious to be entertained and might skip over some of the more subtle moments. I don't know. But in London, it's not as nearly as expensive. It's very normal to go to see a play on the West End. The theater community there is very active. It's part of their culture. It's not, a tourist trip where you jam in seven plays in 4 days, and, you know, that's a part of their lives there. So they come with that expectation, you know, with the expectation of having an experience that they're used to. It makes them a little bit more willing to just kind of sit and see what happens, as opposed to, come on, man, let's make this great. You know, I remember being in Pippin when I was young. Ben Vereen was in Pippin. Hank Aaron was in the audience. And it was right before he broke Babe Ruth's record. And I got to talk to him afterwards. And I told him he should wait and break the record in New York instead of Atlanta, because we would appreciate it. But I remember some guy getting up in the seventh minute of the play. He was clearly drunk out of his pants. And this place stinks. This place stinks. He was screaming, and I just don't think you'd see that in on the West End or in a regional theater in America, you know. But he came. He had his dinner, and he had about seven scotches, and he decided he wanted a different play. He was spending a lot of money to see this thing, and, you know, and that might be what everyone's thinking, you know, only he was drunk enough to actually say it out loud.
You're talking about the rewards of the work. When you look back at probably what you're best known for, which is Toby in the West Wing, was that rewarding? Do you look back at that fondly?
It's not as simple as just having fond memories, because it was, you know, I just watched the first 2.5 years recently for the first time. So many emotions come back, because you remember the day, you remember the location, you remember what was going on personally, your relationships with people on the set. You know, it's a very pressurized set of circumstances to be on a hit show that was as demanding as The West Wing, because we had potential, I think, for brilliance every week, and that makes it hard. Because you don't want to be short of that. You want to reach the ceiling. So it's not just fond memories, but it is memories of a very rich and rewarding experience as an actor. And Aaron Sorkin is truly a great writer, and that cast was very special. From Martin Sheen to Allison Janney to John Spencer, and we made each other better every day. And we had demands that we reach a certain level, and that's that makes sense to me. And other TV experiences where it's like, let's just get through the day, and you know, let's stick to the formula and don't rock the boat, is a little less fondly remembered.
Well, the Barrington Stage Company presentation of The Chosen begins July 18th through August 3rd. You can find out more by going to barringtonstageco.org. Richard Schiff, a delight. We can't wait to see you in the show. Thank you very much for taking the time out.
It's my pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Great pleasure. Again, it is The Chosen, July 18th through August 3rd, barringtonstageco.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.